someone you've never met. This is a story about an individual you know personally, yet it's a story about someone that you've never run into. Such contradictions, you say. How can it be about a story about someone that's familiar, yet they're unfamiliar? How can it be about someone who you know, but someone you've never met? Well, because this is not a contradictory story. This is a paradox. A paradox is something that appears to be contradictory. Nevertheless, it's true. This is a true story. I want to introduce you to someone today because this story is based on a poem that's in your Bible. It happens to be one of my very favorite. I don't know if we need all those bright lights on, do we, or not? It's kind of heavy. Thank you. Someone that you'll get to know as we go over this poem. It begins like this. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of weeping or Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength until each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness or the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Actually, the story I'm going to tell you today is based on this poem. Now, in this story, I'm going to introduce you to an explorer. It could be a man or it could be a woman. Let's say Persana, and that happens to be the name of the explorer. Persana is, for this lesson, gender neutral, so you can identify with him or her. I'll give this person the name because this is a universal name dealing with every man that has ever lived on this planet or will ever live on this planet. Persana went on a long journey of exploration, beginning at the very beginning of history. What was this explorer looking for? Persana was seeking for the dwelling place of God. It was because of something that happened at the very beginning of our family tree. Human beings embarked on a journey to find the dwelling place when they realized that they were not allowed back into paradise, into the garden called Eden. The reason it was paradise is because God was there. His presence. He was pervasive in Eden. He was palpable. They could walk and talk with him. But something else was there. It's what the Jews referred to as Shekinah, the glory of God. And when God's Shekinah is present, there is no darkness. In fact, there is radiating, shining, bright light, like a cloud of glory. Another reason the garden was paradise was because Adam, which happens to be the Hebrew word for man or mankind, and Eve, the Hebrew word for live or to breathe, our first parents, in other words, they were living in an environment in which there was no sin, if you can imagine such a thing. The very first humans on this planet had never rebelled against God or disobeyed Him. So, having been there in that state, they had something being created in the image of God we call willpower, the ability to choose. They could make choices. And that's exactly what they did. They chose to rebel against the Creator, against the one who made them. They abandoned the Shekinah for selfishness and self-indulgence. Did you know that using our willpower to act selfishly is the very essence of what sin is? Therefore, human beings were not evolving into some higher species or a different kind of animal, quote unquote. If you don't believe that, look at the history of the human race. We were devolving, not evolving. Devolving into what the Bible calls vain imaginations. Well, what is that? It's prideful thinking. It's selfishness. Having then devolved in the Garden of Eden to disobedience, our first parents were cast out of paradise. This is so important. I don't want you to miss this. When they left Eden, something happened to our genome, both mine and yours, our chromosomes, the DNA of our existence, because the image of God had been defaced in us. We were no longer singing, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O God." You see, persona is an archetype, a metaphor for the human race. Deep down in persona's heart, there was an emptiness. Did you know there's something within each of us that we've never seen with our eyes? You can go to the mirror and look and you don't see it. Yet it's the most important part of who you are and who I am. We call it our heart. It's the spiritual dimension of who we are. It's what distinguishes us from all other species on this planet. You can only see it and hear it with the eyes of the inner person. Persona, like all of us here today, tried to fill this void, this God-shaped vacuum, with other gods. We tend to do that. Look at history. Our ancestors, many of them lived in caves. They drew pictures and hieroglyphics on the granite walls. They saw the lightning, they heard the thunder, and they thought, maybe God dwells in the lightning. Maybe He dwells in the thunder I hear. Or perhaps His Spirit dwells in the fire that keeps me warm and safe from wild animals. Persona, like so many people today, tried to deify things, make into gods things that they didn't understand. Eventually, our explorer settled in the fertile crescent of the Mesopotamian Valley. We call it the cradle of civilization. Persona would plant figs and almonds and grapes and marvel at the growth that he saw coming from the seed. And he began to think like this: God must dwell in the fertile womb of the earth. It produces the harvest. It feeds my family. It keeps us alive. So what did Persona do? With his own hands, he carved a fertility god and a fertility goddess. And he and all of the rest of the people worshiped these idols. In their distorted way of thinking, they thought, this is the dwelling place of God. This profound ignorance of God, this idolatry, began to have a terrible impact on behavior. The Bible says their hearts were inclined to evil all the time. The earth was full of violence. Except, that is, for one man and his family. So God used water, a lot of water, to cleanse the filth from this planet. And He used this one man, Noah, and his family, to teach us that faith matters. Faith matters. Thereafter, our species began to repopulate the earth. Nations emerged. And since all nations spoke one language, Persona began to conspire with others in an attempt to reach the dwelling place of God. And they built this tower higher and higher, and they thought, if we build this skyscraper high enough, it will reach the dwelling place of God. But suddenly they could go no higher. God had confused them. They couldn't understand each other anymore. It sounded like so much babble. So then our explorer, Persona, found himself walking across the hot sands of the Sahara Desert. The fiery orb of the sun beat down on Persona's head. It bleached the sand that they walked on. He didn't understand the sun. He knew that if he looked at the sun long enough, it would blind him. So he began to fantasize. Surely God must dwell in that bright light in the heavens. It's like Shekinah. I can't even bear to look in its face. I'll call him my sun god. I will give him a name, Ray. I will bury my dead in these massive tombs that I'm building in the desert. Then when that light and heat from the sun comes into these pyramids, it will bring resurrection to all of my people. So he continued to bury his dead all over the desert. Just this past week, they think they've discovered Nefertiti's tomb, the mother of King Tut. But these lifeless mummies just laid there because the pyramids were not the dwelling place of God. Nevertheless, God was going to use one man and his descendants to make it possible for the dwelling place to be among men. Abraham was that man. Abraham was not a perfect man. There aren't any perfect people. Has that occurred to you? But there was something different about him. Abraham believed God. Once again, faith matters. I want you to say those two words with me. Faith matters. Ready? Faith matters. It matters when faith is in tune with the sovereign will and purpose of God. Faith matters when it's according to the sovereign will and purpose of God. That's why Abraham's son Isaac was the child of promise. That's why Abraham's grandson Jacob was called Israel. That's why Jacob's 12 sons became the progenitors of a nation that's been preserved in spite of systematic genocide and holocausts. That's why God has preserved a chosen people to inaugurate a law covenant so that an unbelieving world and so that we would know the depth of the darkness that grips this planet. Did you know that that darkness intersects the heart of every one of us? The covenant of law shows our need for a new covenant, a covenant that's undeserved. Well, what is that? It's a covenant of grace, undeserved favor. It's a covenant of mercy, a covenant of love, a covenant of forgiveness. Persona was there in the desert when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the tablets of stone on which were written the Ten Commandments. Moses had been on that mountain with God, the presence of God. He'd experienced that incredible light, the brightness of God's Shekinah. This is the way the Bible describes it. When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. The cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud to the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Wow. There is no adjective that can sufficiently describe what happened on that mountain. When Moses came down, his face was so bright, so radiant from being in God's presence, that the people, including Persana, were afraid. But a strange thing began to happen. The Shekinah glory began to fade from his face. Persana was so disappointed. God's presence was there, but only for a moment. Sadly, the dwelling place of God was not on the mountain. But God told Moses, "Make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them." Persana and all the tribes of Israel were thrilled that they would finally experience God's dwelling place. When the tabernacle was finished, the Bible says that the cloud covered the tabernacle. The Shekinah glory of his presence filled the sanctuary. But there was a problem, a very big problem. Persana couldn't go into the Holy of Holies, where the mercy seat was. Only the high priest, after much preparation, could walk into the inner sanctum there annually on the Day of Atonement. He would go in and sprinkle sacrificial blood on the cover of the mercy seats for the sins of all the people. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Is God's Spirit revealing something to you right now? Persona was on the outside. The glory, the Shekinah, was on the inside. Maybe they were singing a song that sounded a little like this. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. But Persana was not in the presence of God in the Holy of Holies. So generations passed. Our explorer continued around the world to find God's dwelling place. As time passed, there was a king, an extraordinary man named David. A man, the Bible says, was after God's own heart. David, like all of us, though, was far from a perfect man. Remember, faith matters, even with imperfect people. More than anything else, David wanted to build a temple for the dwelling place of God. But he was just a poet. He'd shed too much blood. He had been a murderer. So God's perfect timing came into play. It was not David, but his son, King Solomon, who was responsible for building the temple. Thousands participated in its construction. Persana was there because the king staged a spectacular dedication. He saw the sacred furnishings of silver and gold brought into the temple. Persana saw the Ark of the Covenant being carried into the Holy of Holies. Ears were filled with the sound of music, trumpeters and singers giving thanks to the Lord God Yahweh, which means, by the way, I am. I want you to visualize what Persana was seeing that day and what he was hearing. The cloud of glory appeared again, just as it did when the tabernacle was dedicated. King Solomon stood up to speak. Listen to what he said to Yahweh. I have built you, God, an exalted place, a place for you to dwell forever. Persana caught his breath. A place for God to dwell forever. However, before King Solomon completed his address, the king said something that was shocking and unexpected. You can't afford to miss it. The king knelt down on his knees. He raised his arms to heaven and listened to what he said. O Yahweh, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or on earth, keeping covenant and showing steadfast love to your servants who walk before you with all their heart. And then Solomon continued to speak about God's faithfulness, but then he asked this arresting question that you see on the screen. But will God indeed dwell with man on the earth? Will God indeed dwell with man on the earth? If the highest heavens cannot contain God, Solomon said, how can we expect the tabernacle or the temple or any other thing we create or build to be God's dwelling place? So Persona walked away sadly to continue his journey. Like so many other explorers, Persona sought out the great philosophers from around the world. Some of you have done that. The reason he looked to philosophy was because he had that emptiness inside, what the philosophers often called the God-shaped vacuum, the void that needed to be filled. So, where did it lead him? It led him to the intellectual and philosophical center of the Western world, Athens, Greece. There he could walk into that edifice, the Parthenon, where all the mythical gods and goddesses were on display, standing on marble pedestals. Towering above them was Athena, the great goddess of wisdom and justice. Persona looked at these lifeless sculptures and he thought to himself, there's something missing here. All the gods and goddesses are here, but there's no glory, no brightness, no radiating light, no Shekinah. And as Persona reflected back on the history of philosophy, he began to ask this universal question that all the philosophers ask. What is truth? What is truth? Did you know that happens to be the same question that a Roman governor asked a man about to be led away to be crucified? What is truth? That's what Persona had been looking for. Truth. Then one day, Persona was given a scroll to read. This is what he read. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel? What does that mean? God with us. God with us. This took Persona's breath away. He said, when and how will God dwell with us? Maybe I won't have to continue this long journey at all times and at all places to find God's glory, the dwelling place of God. Centuries later, Persona settled into a little shepherd community near the city of Jerusalem. The town was called Bethlehem. One night, as he and others were tending their sheep, Persona witnessed a rare and an historic sight. At first, he was afraid, and then he heard something that caused his fear to quickly turn to joy. The voice he heard angelically said, "Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Oh, those words resonated and echoed in his heart. For to you is born this day. To me, Persona thought, to me a Savior, for me, not just for Moses on the mountain, not just for the high priest in the Holy of Holies, a Savior that will take away this emptiness inside of me. But how could a child be a dwelling place for God? He wanted to know. So he went with the other shepherds into the city of Bethlehem. He walked into the stable. He looked down into the wooden manger. And he thought to himself, surely this stable, this manger, are not the dwelling place of God. It's not big enough. It's not grand enough. It's not holy enough. Yet, there's something unique and different about this child. I see glory in his face. Then as the child grew and matured, Prasanna continued to observe him. This man, Jesus, kept referring to himself as if God were in him. Yahweh, I am. Because he said things like, I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Prasanna heard all that he said. He saw the miracles. He recognized that the lives of people were changed radically and dramatically, as many of your lives have been. Radically and dramatically changed, as mine has. Some of his followers were saying things like, the Word has become flesh and is dwelling among us. We are beholding His glory, His Shekinah, the glory of the one and only who has come from the Father, full of grace and truth. But there were other things that weren't so reassuring. He was a different kind of king than he expected. Where was his army? Where was his palace? Why wasn't he sitting on a throne? Why is he riding on that donkey? And Jesus said some things that were very disturbing, things like, you destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Things like, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected and be killed on the third day and then be raised to life. Then there were those rumors, a conspiracy by the political establishment. They were plotting his death. Prasanna thought, if this is really Emmanuel, God with us, why are they trying to take the glory away? Why are they trying to put out the light? Why doesn't somebody do something to prevent it? But no one did. Not even God. Not even God. So our explorer walked away weeping because they had taken the glory away. It wasn't long after that, however, that Prasanna heard other rumors. As incredible and preposterous as it sounds, Emmanuel himself had been seen by more than 500 people. So many of his followers, men and women, including one that was a doubting skeptic, were witnesses of this fact. 11 of the chosen apostles had been in touch with him, had eaten with him, had been instructed by him. But then suddenly, Emmanuel disappeared. He vanished from the scene. But for some reason, some of his closest associates were comforted. They were reassured by something he had said to them before he left. He said, I'm not going to leave you like an orphan. I will come to you, I will comfort you, but go to Jerusalem and wait. Wait for the promise. The promise, Prasanna thought. Jesus says, when you get there to Jerusalem, you will be empowered to tell the good news of my death, my burial, and my resurrection. And thereafter, repentance and forgiveness of sins will be offered to all people groups. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad the good news of his death, burial, and resurrection has come to you? Prasanna was there in Jerusalem with thousands of other people for the Feast of Pentecost. He was strolling down a Jerusalem avenue when suddenly there was great confusion. It actually sounded like a violent wind coming out of the windows. There were flashes of light in the windows. He saw little fiery tongues, as it were. He caught his breath, and then he began to listen to every word coming from their mouths. Peter, one of the 11, stood up and began to speak, but with great empowerment and anointing and boldness. Quoting the prophet Joel, Peter said, "In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on your daughters and on your sons and on your old men, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Because God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are witnesses of this fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, He's received from the Father the Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you see and hear. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know that God hath made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Oh, Persina heard those words. He was stirred deep within his spirit. It was like a stabbing in his heart. It could be what some of you experience right now. Do you know what he was thinking? God has given us through Jesus the keys to his dwelling place. God has given us the keys to the kingdom. This is really good news. This will change the world, Persina thought. And then he said, "This is changing me." Once again, faith matters. Will you say that with me? Faith matters. All around him, people were beginning to cry and to call out, "What shall we do? What shall we do?" Persina heard these same words coming from his own mouth. The Apostle Peter began to answer the question. He says, "Repent, turn around, change directions. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Persina thought, "The promise is for me too?" "For the promise is for you, Persina, and for you, and for you, and for you, and for me. For all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Persina no longer had any doubt. God was calling him. Is he calling you? So with 3,000 others, he began to cry out the name of the Lord. "Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Lord." So he followed others, 3,000 of them, as they went out to the pools and streams around Jerusalem to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Guess what? Persina was no longer looking for the dwelling place of God. God was dwelling in him. God was dwelling in him. Once again, faith matters. If you're sure today that the promise, the gift, dwells in you of his presence, his glory, you could put your hands on your shoulders and you could say something like this to God: "Thank you, Lord, for making me your dwelling place. I'm no longer shut out from the Holy of Holies. You've made me a priest. I don't have to find one to intercede or mediate for me, because you want me, to be your Holy of Holies. You want my body and my mind to be sacred ground." Now I know what the Hebrew poet meant when he sang, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of weeping, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength until each appears before God in Zion." If you're here today never having experienced having become the dwelling place of God, I want to talk with you. I want to pray with you. If something has been stirring in your inner space, don't ignore it. God could be calling you today. Will you answer that call? "Jesus, be merciful to me. I don't deserve it. Jesus, but I want you to be my Lord." Jesus said these words, and I close with these that are on the screen now. I want you to match the words to the picture you see. "Whoever believes in me," Jesus said, "streams of living water will flow from within him." Let us pray. Oh God, how could we ever praise and thank you enough? How could we ever fall on our knees and our face before you, as undeserving as we are, to now have the privilege of being your dwelling place? Christ in me, the hope of glory. Father, move on us by your Spirit. Lead us to follow you for the rest of our life. In his name we